Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And I'm joined in the studio now by personal finance expert Eoin McGee. Eoin, you're very welcome. Lovely
Thanks,
to see
there.
You.
Good to see you too.
And we're asking people to text in with their questions on anything finance related, 51551. In the past hour, we heard Electric Ireland has announced a 10% cut in electricity prices, a 12% reduction in gas charges, all coming in from the 1st of November. Energia did that earlier in the week, except the figure was 20%, as I remember. Do you have a sense of optimism now around the general cost of living crisis?
We have just gone in the different direction to where we've been in the last year or so, or a little bit over a year. We're starting to see things come down, which is exactly what we need. We need to see prices coming down. And what I would say to people listening to this is these big headlines, and maybe you're not with energy here, not with these companies are making the announcements. They are the reminder for you to get on to CRU.ie, which is the regulator of utilities. And they list the companies that are authorised to switch you from one provider to another. This is a really simple thing to do. You take your gas and or your electricity bill, you jump on, you pick one of the switcher companies, and I think there's three of them there at the moment, and it's a really simple process and you can identify your savings very quickly. These switcher companies are competing with each other to make it easy for you to switch. Mm-hmm. And actually, Claire, anytime we put this call out, I ask people to come back, and it's typical that people will save kind of 300, 400 euros by just swapping from one provider to another. And you know what? The light switch still turns the light on the same colour when you've got a different electricity provider. There is no need for loyalty when it comes to your electricity and gas provider. The house is still going to heat the same. Yeah. The lights are still going to come on the same colour. So just be active about it. So when you hear these things, even if you're with them, I would still be checking that on a regular basis.
Yeah, but you know, we talk about a reduction of 20% or 12% or whatever it might be. We can't forget that the electricity prices over the last 18 months, 2 years have soared well beyond that, multiples of 20%.
Absolutely. And if you go up from 100 to 120 and come back down to 115, it doesn't feel the same as where you were this time last year. And it's because it's not the same as where you were mm-hmm. this time last year. But at least prices are going down and not up. And once you've got two, you would expect the rest of them will start to follow over the next couple
of
weeks.
Now, I had Brian Hayes here yesterday for the Banking and Payments Federation. He was telling us about these new rules around eligibility for people who want to switch mortgage providers. I know you had a listen to that interview. Is that good news, do you think?
Look, it is that they're starting to open the doors to say, if you've been performing for the last 2 years, one of the things, and I think the point that, look, when I hear you talking to Brian Hayes, oftentimes I'm shouting at the radio, if I'm honest, right?
And I won't ask if you're shouting at me or him.
No, I listen to you other times and I'm not shouting at the radio. But sometimes I'm listening to what I said. What really frustrated me was where you've got interest rates, and they're even on his average numbers, it's more expensive to be with one of these vulture funds. I know he had a nicer word for it, right? But they're still higher than what it would be. And everything else when we talk about mortgages is about ability to repay. And what he's saying yesterday was, you need to be on capital interest for a full 2 years and then we'll consider you. And I get that he can't say, we're definitely going to do it for you. We'll consider it. We'll look at the case. Mm-hmm. But if your mortgage repayment is 1,000 euros a month with a vulture fund and it's going to be 800 euros a month or 900 euros a month with one of the mainstream banks, that's proving an ability to repay. And you have to work the maths and you have to. So I don't understand why, if you're doing what you're being asked to do for 2 years, and that's the agreement you're in, and the ability to repay is to be proven, that you can't just move it over. Mm-hmm. And the bank should be able to look at that. If you look at what happens in Italy, switching is really easy in Italy because they're all under the same central bank guidelines and they just say, let's move it from, and they've sorted the legal process out as well. But it happens very quickly and we do need to encourage switching.
And the process is really difficult. You know, I said to him yesterday, it's like applying for a new mortgage, isn't it?
It is. Now, one of the things just to say, like, you never usually hear a banker on a radio show and you actually laugh out loud. But when he described banking, and if it doesn't make playback on Saturday morning, I'd be disgusted, right? He described banking as a dangerous activity. I'm like, what's dangerous about banking? And that made me laugh out loud, Claire, and I just had to call him out on it. There's nothing dangerous about walking into a bank branch and going to work in a head office in a bank trying to decide who's getting their mortgage.
All right. Well, look, I'm sure Brian Hayes can answer for himself on that one. AIB then, the latest bank to raise savings rates. So we've an increase to 3%. And we know, we've heard it a lot, Irish banks were criticised for only partially passing on the ECB interest rate rises to customers on the savings front. Is that good news then, that they're finally doing it?
Here's negative Eoin again, right? I just be a little bit worried, right? All businesses, and I accept all businesses are out there They're in business to make profits, okay? And where I think we have a problem with banks or energy companies or whoever it is where they're making profits, excessive profits, by taking advantage of a current situation, and particularly when people are really feeling the pain. 1.2 billion in 6 months is what AIB did the first 6 months of this year in profits. And where I think a lot of those profits were being driven by was they were keeping interest rates on savings naturally, unnaturally low in order to, and the same things with mortgages, so that they weren't coming under pressure on the mortgage side. We went from one of the most expensive countries in Europe to get a mortgage in to one of the cheapest. For 10 years, we've been hearing the banks more. We've been hearing the banks saying, this is why we're the most expensive. A, B and C are the reasons why we're the most expensive. A, B and C seem to have disappeared now because we're the third cheapest in Europe. But my fear here is they were able to do that because the interest rates on, they were giving on savings were being kept low. Now they've bowed to pressure or they've decided that the runway has run out on them. They've started to increase interest rates. My fear is that going to be pushed down to the hard-pressed 800,000 people who have mortgages now who are already finding the pinch very difficult, and it's just going to be passed on.
So you want to keep a close eye on what happens on the other side of the balance sheet?
Absolutely, because you know what? Sometimes this actually felt like it was pressure from government, media, whoever else on the banks to say you're not being fair to the savers. And now if we don't keep the same eye on the mortgage side, it'll just be passed on. I have no problem with banks making profits. We do need them to be profitable because if you see what happens when they're not profitable, we have to bail them out, right? So I have no problem with them being profitable. It's these excessive profits in a situation where there really looks like, and it feels like to us, that they're taking advantage of us.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that one. Yeah. I'm sure you will too. I want to talk to you about how much now we use cashless payments. So our phones, or we might be tapping our cards and so on. And is there any indication that it is much harder to keep track of what you spend when you do that?
It is, absolutely. There was research done, and it was done by one of the fast food chains quite some time ago when contactless was being introduced. And what they did was they looked at people queuing up in the queue, and they looked at how much do you spend when you spend in cash and how much do you spend when you're tapping. And we spend between 10 and 15% more money when we tap compared to with cash. And if you think about that, why does that happen? If you've got 10 euro in your pocket and you're queuing up, you're thinking to yourself, am I going to have it? Will I go large? Oh, maybe I shouldn't. Will I have enough? I'm definitely not getting an ice cream or a dessert, whatever, because you're worried about the embarrassment of handing over the tenner. When you're tapping, you go, I know I have X amount in my bank account, whatever that is, and I'll be okay and I'll
It'll
just
be grand.
Tap. It'll be fine and you'll deal with it later and it doesn't feel the same. We have a physical connection to money. Now, I'm not saying to people that they should all switch back to cash and that's what it is, because it's security, there's everything else. And we all learned in COVID, there's a hygiene thing and all of those are the things that go with it. But what I would say to people is just be mindful of that. We do spend more money when we tap compared to when we use cash, and we don't have the same connection, physical connection to the cash as we do to our plastic.
So how do we fix that without going back to using cash if we don't want to?
Well, one of the things that we do, like technology and the cashless society has introduced things like your old mammy's envelope, for example. You got money in, the cash came in, he stuck it into lots of different envelopes. That's much more streamlined now with some of the new fintech banks. We've got things like vaults, wallets, spaces. Well, it depends on what company.
Jars.
Yeah, jars. And it depends on what company you're dealing with. But basically what that is, if people aren't familiar with it, is you've got your current account that you do all your banking in and out of, but you've got subfolders off that. And where I would use that and where I would recommend people to use it is when you get a financial surprise, okay? And just to say, Christmas isn't a financial surprise, and I know I'm mentioning Christmas here.
Renewing your car insurance, not a financial surprise.
Imagine, it's not a financial surprise, but sometimes it hits you at a time when you weren't expecting it, you weren't ready for it. My trick and the thing that I always suggest to people to do is, let's say the home insurance comes in and I'll make up a number, it's 480 euros and you weren't ready for it financially, you pay for it from cash flow. What you need to do is use those vaults, wallet spaces, jars, and you need to stick 40 quid a month into it from now for the next 12 months. So next year when it comes around, you have your vault. The same way your mammy might have had the envelope years ago, you now have that money put to one side. The other thing to think about is we're just coming back off summer. The sun is shining. You're thinking about your holidays this time next year. Again, if you usually go away in September and you're just back, or you usually go away in August, you're just back. And let's just say it costs you 2,400 euros to go on holidays this year. It's probably fresh in your mind how much you spend on it. Put 200 euros a month aside for the next 12 months.
If you can,
If you can. But that's actually a good point as well. Mm-hmm. If you can't, if you're sitting listening to this and you're going, I couldn't possibly put 200 euros a month aside. I'm really sorry, but you can't afford to go on holidays next
year. Oh, you're such a spoilsport.
That's my job.
No, I know. No, I know you're right. But some people might be able to afford 300 this month and, you know, nothing next month.
But doing anything is better than doing nothing. And if you don't, let's say it's supposed to be 200 a month aside and you put 100 euros a month aside, then this time next year, at least you have half the savings. I know I'm making the numbers up, but at least you're halfway there. And you're, if you're going to borrow to go on holidays, you're only borrowing half the money this time.
I know, it's not such a shock. And you feel great. You feel so virtuous.
There's lots of people who have used that trick and have come to me online afterwards and say, I actually paid for my holiday all up front. I have no loan to the credit union or whoever else it is. And I enjoyed the holiday even more.
Yeah, delighted with life. Now we have a texter who wants to know what was the name of the website for finding out about switching electricity provider. So in the first instance, you go to the CRU.
CRU, and the only reason I mentioned CRU is because they're a government agency. I'm not promoting any of the switchers.
Yeah, but there are loads of switchers there.
They list all the switchers who are approved by them to be a switcher company. CRU.ie.
This listener got a lump sum from a previous employment and they'd like to invest it. But my partner is totally against that because it's too risky, in inverted commas. I'm worried about inflation. Have you any advice?
I would suggest when I hear the word, oh, I'm worried about investing, my friend lost loads of money on investing or does really badly. Saying I don't like pensions or I don't like investing is a little bit like saying I wouldn't put money into an investment because I'm afraid of it. I'm scared of it. My friend had an experience with it. That's a little bit like saying I don't want to eat food because my friend got food poisoning. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, right? What I would say here about when someone has risk, it's not that this person is afraid of it because of the risk. It's that nobody has ever taken the time or they've never given the time to sit down with someone who's going to explain the thing properly to them in a way that they understand and explain what's going to actually happen this thing over the next couple of years when you leave it alone. Generally, fear comes from things that we don't know fully about or we're not fully informed on. And once you get informed and someone explains it to you in a way that you'll understand, it'll be a game changer. That person is right to be worried about inflation because you will lose the purchasing power. People see their bank balance go up and say, oh, that's okay, I'm doing all right. It's moved from, say, that's 10,000 euros to 10,250 euros. But the thing you want to buy might have moved from 10,000 to 11,000 euros and you've lost 750 euros of your purchasing power and it eats away. We have 150 billion sitting on deposit, Claire. And I would suggest 60 to 70% of that money does not belong in the bank account.
It should be in some sort of investment product.
Some type of investment. And the rule you need to apply is investments need time to breathe. They need time to be left alone. They're going to take an up and down. But if it's invested properly and you leave it for 5 years or more, you should ride out all the storms if it's invested properly.
So if you have a bit of money in the bank, you ask yourself that question. Will I need this in
the next 5 years? The five-year rule is what I call it.
Okay.
Apply the five-year rule to any money you have, either if it's wages, that you don't need some of your wages each month if you're in that lucky position, or if you've got money, you're one of those people adding to that 150 billion number. Do I need this money in the next 5 years? And if I don't, inflation is going to destroy it on me and I need to get some advice.
In general terms, how do you deal with couples in that situation where you have one person in the couple who is risk averse and the other one might be prepared to take quite a big risk with the money?
Yeah, and in general, what you will do is sometimes you will find that you have to do it, that you have to pander to both. And what I mean by that is you might do a standard kind of, let's just steady the road, keep this kind of with 85% of the money and 15% of the money, we'll let the risk taker go and do something a bit wild with that, right? Mm-hmm. And wild sounds mad coming out of my mouth because I'm a financial planner, right? But what I mean by that is just do something a little bit more that's going to go up and down a bit more so both people are satisfied. Interestingly enough, the people who are really afraid of it, when I map out their financial plan and I'm looking at their financial future, the thing that gets them more scared is I'll say to them, if you invest this money, you're going to be worth X amount in a couple of years time, and if you don't invest the money, you're going to be worth Y amount, which is significantly less. And the fear of that difference is often the thing that says, okay, tell me how this thing works, and they'll sit back. But that's, you just have to manage the couple and make sure that everybody's happy, because there's no point in one person being happy, because then when things go wrong, which they do every 3 to 5 years with an investment, on average every 3 to 5 years we have what the media will call a stock market crash, what I call a temporary decline. It's a decline and it's temporary. Every 3 to 5 years that happens, and then the person who was afraid at the start is going to win the argument and say we need to pull it out, and that's the wrong thing to do.
Thank you very much, Owen, for coming in.
Thank you. Sound advice
as always, trying to keep everybody happy, which we all like to do. Owen McGee, thanks a lot. Coming up over the next hour, farmers' outrage over a reduction in nitrogen limits. That's on the way. We're going to find out what it all means for them. Plus, a manhunt underway in Britain after a terror suspect broke out of Wandsworth prison by holding on to the underside of a delivery van. The hidden charges, or are they really hidden, on the price of your flight ticket, we'll debate. And we'll have a look back at the history of sporting rivalry between Ireland and France. And, of course, look ahead to tonight's qualifier in Paris.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.